unfortunately, there's been a lot of hype out there talking about their new proposal and the new route. The only thing that's new is 40 miles. The other 140 miles is pretty much exactly the same as it's always been. It's unfortunately impacting all of the same resources that many of us have been worried about for many years.
If somehow they succeed at getting through the state regulatory review process that cites projects like this, and if for some reason they succeed at getting the states okay to use our land against our will, I can guarantee you that I'm going to be back to every one of you looking for a contribution to take this to the Supreme Court, because it is simply the wrong thing to do.
All right, that was Susan Arnold and of the Appalachian Mountain Club, Will Abbott of the Forest Society, talking on Monday night in New Hampton about the Northern Pass Project. And I want to thank the New Hampshire Tea Party Coalition for sending out an email blast this morning about opposing Northern Pass and promoting the Northern Trespass documentary film that will be shown at the Franklin Opera House Saturday night. And the admission is just $5. There will be a Q&A session with the filmmakers afterwards as well. So this will be a good event for you to go to. And the movie will be shown 7 p.m. at the Franklin Opera House. Now, there's another performance at the Franklin Opera House tomorrow night with singer Katie Rose, which I will be talking with her in the next hour. But a few things to talk about on this Northern Pass front, particularly, is the legislation and some of the efforts that are still underway under the Golden Dome to get a few things passed and studied and the like. And as Senator Forrester did give an update, an overview of what some of those pieces of legislation are, dealing with the Site Evaluation Committee, dealing with undergrounding the lines, and a whole host of other issues. State Representative Larry Rappaport, who has been following this issue from the very beginning and who sponsored House Bill 648, the prime sponsor, the eminent domain bill that we got passed to provide property protection for landowners throughout New Hampshire. He joins us now to talk about some subcommittee work that he's doing right now and their next meeting coming up on Tuesday regarding some important issues. Larry, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. When we've chatted before about a number of the pieces of legislation making its way through the legislature, some passed, some got farmed off to committee, and so on, you are heading up a subcommittee, you being a member of the House Science, Technology, and Energy Committee. You have a subcommittee that's working on studying some very important issues regarding undergrounding, right?
Yes, we have three bills, House Bill 166, 568, and 569.
Okay, and what do each one of those do?
166 requires that the SEC, the Site Evaluation Committee, consider the impact on the community through which a proposed transmission line is going to occur. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. 568, I probably have the numbers backwards here, but one of them is... I think 568 requires all elective power lines in New Hampshire to be buried. Excuse me.
Larry's getting over a real nasty cold.
Oh, I sure am.
I appreciate you joining us anyway.
Okay. And I've amended it so that I replaced all with voltages over 120,000 volts or supports over 50 feet. The idea there is we want to accommodate renewable energy projects, small renewable energy projects that feed into the grid, and they will require transmission lines, and I don't want them to be to have unneeded cost. So I've excluded those from all elective power lines. What we're really looking for are the big transmission lines. We don't want to have New Hampshire citizens subsidizing these power companies.
Right. Well, particularly the large companies, the investor-owned utilities, or even the government-owned entities as well.
Well, that's right. That's right. And House Bill 569 simply says that we should, to the extent possible, we should use transmission lines, and we should put transmission lines in state transportation rights of way. My logic there is that we've already appropriated the land. Why not use it for more than one thing? Furthermore, state transportation rights of way tend to have what's known as softened soil. In other words, there's already been construction on it, and there's very little chance that a buried transmission line would have to go through ledge. It mostly will go through softened, and we've had when we had the commission to evaluate the feasibility of using state transportation rights away, we had testimony indicating that land that had already been pre-softened, it was actually less expensive to bury a line than to have it aerial.
Real, even less expensive?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting.
Well,
that goes against the narrative.
I know. However, there is a very important but, because the places you have basically two categories of land which raises that expensive specter. One of them is ledge, and of course that's the one we're trying to eliminate. The other one is crossings. Whether it's a bridge over some kind of a road or over a river or stream or whatever, but bridges tend to be have to have an engineered solution, and they tend to run more. It tends to be very expensive.
Okay.
Well, one of the things that we're considering, when we say, and the reason I made the bill state transportation rights of way, is we have a lot of abandoned railroads around the state.
Mm-hmm.
And many of those are now owned in fee simple by the state. And so because of that, for example, up where I am in the northern part of the state, I live in Colebrook, there are no interstate highways. So when our committee first met, or I should say when the commission met last year, we examined interstate highway Route 93, Route 89, Route 95, and of course State Highway 101, all of which are prime candidates. But in looking at getting power from Canada, none of those roads come up to Canada, other than 93 does connect with 91 in Vermont, and 91 does go all the way up into Canada. However, we're looking for New Hampshire solutions. I can't.
Right, you guys can't tell Vermont what to do.
That's right. Much as maybe some of us would like to, we can't. Therefore, I want to include state transportation rights of way, because there are some, for example, up here, there's an abandoned railroad called the North Stratford Railroad that goes to Beecher Falls, and of course, very easy to connect with Canada, and there's already a gas pipeline in it. So, you know, to me, that sounds like it might be a very good candidate for transmission. Also, it's considerably shorter than the route which, Northern Pass is planning a route through Upper Coos, which is very long and complicated, and this would shorten it substantially.
That's interesting stuff. Yeah, because a lot of people have asked me, you know, there's a lot of people that are interested in saying, gee, let's get this line buried, but they also wondered, well, how do you do that, you know, or where do you do that? But as you mentioned, you have abandoned railroads, and in fact, the ownership, as you said, fee simple, which means that the state owns it outright. Now you eliminate the other equation, the other concern about private property rights.
Well, of course. And to me, the best part of it is if you have to take property for the good of the people, and let's face it, any time eminent domain is used, that's what it's supposed to be used for. Why not use it for more than one purpose?
Okay.
Yeah, it just makes common sense to me.
Well, State Representative Larry Rappaport joining us from Colebrook this morning here on Bulldog Live. House Bill 166 dealing with the Site Evaluation Committee studying impacts on local communities regarding any energy development projects. House Bill 568 regarding burial of elective transmission lines. And House Bill 569, which would have the burial on state-owned rights-of-way. Now, the subcommittee, you're chairing a subcommittee looking into all these bills, right?
That's right.
And you've had a number of meetings on this so far.
Oh, yes, we have.
And you have another one coming up next week.
That's right, we do. Tuesday the 24th at Room 304. It's a public meeting.
Okay, Room 304. What time does that get underway?
10 o'clock.
Okay, and do you take public testimony at these things?
Well, we do, except that next Tuesday we have three organizations already signed up, and we're getting past what we can possibly get in. So yes, we would take public. We do take public testimony, but I think it's going to be not at the next meeting. I think at the meeting after that.
Okay, that's fair. So this is good for people to follow. Representative Rappaport, now with what's going on in those committee meetings and the studies, how about this claim that Northern Pass keeps putting out that it would cost 10 times as much to bury the lines? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I believe that's not true.
Okay.
And my thoughts are based on testimony by one company, for example, ABB, which is they're the engineers on the NEL project, the Northeast Energy Link. That's the one that comes from Maine, from New Brunswick, all the way down through Maine, and it crosses a small part of New Hampshire around Portsmouth and goes into Massachusetts. They have a tremendous amount of experience. Hydro-Quebec has experience. And, you know, they're the ones who are supplying power in this thing. So I'm surprised. But they have refused to testify in front of the 361 Commission, and they've refused to testify in front of my subcommittee.
That's interesting. Representative Rappaport, let's take a caller before we wrap this up here. 1-866-823-1077. Mark from Deerfield, you're on Bulldog Live with State Representative Larry Rappaport.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to ask a question concerning the proposal that the representative has about using the public access ways. I have been following this as much as I could about the Northern Pass coming through and using, you know, eminent domain in order to get right-of-ways. I had heard that back in the day, I guess, you know, back in the 50s, when the state of New Hampshire decided to put roads and a system of roadways through the state, they actually put roads in on private property, and that it was guaranteed to the homeowners or the property owners that the road, even though it was on their property, their right of way or their property line would extend, you know, out so far into the road, and that in order to use the roadways, the state would have to gain permission from the landowners on some kind of an ordeal like this. Does your bill take this into consideration?
Well, my bill, actually, that's a very good point. And that is the reason behind the Department of Transportation suggesting that Route 89, Route 93, Route 95, and State Road 101 be used, because those are property where the state does own the underlying land. That you're absolutely right. And
right. They don't connect over to Canada, like you said. It goes up into Vermont, you know, but none of the others are accessible.
Well, that's true. And that's why I've mentioned state transportation rights of way. About 10 years ago, there was an RSA which granted the state ownership in fee simple for abandoned railroads. And so you can't allow any kind of easement unless you own the property, and the common ownership mode is fee simple. So consequently, many roads you just can't do that. I mean, it's not possible. It's not legally valid. So my bill is only for those roads where the state has the ability to grant a right of way.
Do you have a connectability plan diagram showing all of the routes connecting? Because if we vote for your bill and we only get a partial connection from this county, but not in through that county, but a little bit, a couple of properties here and there, then it's really not doing us any good. Have you got a study or is there a viable route already made?
Well, I have one, but to the extent that it's possible, the DOT is going to present at our next meeting. They're going to pass out some maps which show those routes which are viable under this proposal.
So that'll be on Tuesday, Mark. If you're interested in that, 10 a.m. in Legislative Office Building, Room 304.
And that's here in Concord?
Yes.
Okay, sounds good. I appreciate you answering my question.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank
you, Mark, for asking the good ones. Take care. All right, Larry Rappaport, thank you very much for joining us. And there you go. Some good information.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. We'll chat again, and we'll see you probably next week as the public scoping meetings get underway by the U.S. Department of Energy.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye.
All right, State Representative Larry Rappaport of Colebrook.